The following podcast is a production of the Washington College of Law at American University. Any unauthorized use or distribution is strictly prohibited.
Good morning. Thanks to all of you for coming. All, I guess I say all a little tentatively. I hope there will be more trickling in throughout the day. But thanks to all of you for coming and helping us kick off our third annual IP Gender, the Unmapped Connections, a tradition we started 3 years ago. Many of you in this room were in that initial workshop, and we thought we'd continue it. Washington in the spring is a great place. The tables have gone up outside. The daffodils and the cherry blossoms have come out on cue for us. And I just want to start first with a couple thank yous. First to Steve Roberts, our expert administrative assistant, who does all the things that make an event like this possible. And to the programs on women and the law, and the program on intellectual property and the public interest, and to the journal on gender and the law. Krista Cirola, editor-in-chief, is here. Thank you, Krista. But mostly I just want to say that I have to thank Peter Yazzie, Ann Shalick, and Christine Farley, who nearly 6 years ago, Josh Sarnoff, my colleague, and I were lucky to come to this building and help them start one of the first intellectual property clinics in the country. And one of the wonderful byproducts and the natural byproducts of getting these great scholars and their great expertise in intellectual property and gender issues into a room for days on days on days on end to get this clinic going was not only a great clinical program, but the idea for this really unique symposium series exploring the intersection of their various expertises, IP and gender. And as most of us know, it's a largely unexplored intersection. But we've created something, and here we are again at our third annual Unmapped Connections Conference. And I'd like to introduce the founding father of it all, Peter Yazzie.
So, thank you all very much for coming. There are a lot of familiar faces here, and it's a very happy event. The genesis of this, as Vicky suggested, can be viewed in a couple of different ways. It can be viewed as the kind of inevitable outcome of 25 years of history at the Washington College of Law, or alternatively as the byproduct of a single moment of serendipity. It depends on your point of view, but let me sketch the two stories and you can choose. Thanks in significant part to the contributions that Ann Shalick, from whom you'll be hearing later, has made to not only the field of law and gender, but also to the conceptualization of a program on women in the law here at the Washington College of Law. We collectively share in this institution an approach to the way in which gender issues are engaged. And that is, we work very hard throughout our teaching and our scholarship to try to bring issues of gender into as many different contexts as possible. My friends in the legal rhetoric business talk about writing across the curriculum. And here we do, or try to do, gender across the curriculum. And that includes the first year, and it includes elective courses, and it, of course, includes our wonderful clinical programs, because that's another part of the special history of this institution. Well, as Vicky said, about 6 years ago, thanks to the generosity that Pam Samuelson and Bob Glushko displayed toward us, we were in a position to begin thinking about starting an intellectual property law clinic. And I was enthusiastic about that. Christine was enthusiastic about that. We had people, new people, Vicky and Josh, who were waiting to come to us, full of enthusiasm. But there was a tiny deficit in this scheme, and that was there was a certain shortage of expertise in clinical teaching. And so we reached out, and Ann Schalick, in her generosity, out of her long experience with clinical instruction, agreed to come and work with us as a member of the IP clinic faculty in its first years of development. And that serendipitous moment, which contributed so much to the development of the IP clinic, also had another consequence, and that is that it gave us a chance to begin, as Vicky said, to talk among ourselves about this connection between the neutral and pristine field of intellectual property law on the one hand and issues of law and gender on the other. And that became a very, very, very quickly, in fact, a very interesting conversation, a conversation that was well underway, in fact, before the clinic itself was ever launched. And when we tried to share that conversation with others in our several disciplines, we met a good deal of skepticism. The typical response was, you know, what connections? If there were ever two parallel tracks within legal academia which might run comfortably alongside each other but never intersect, surely those tracks were intellectual property and gender studies. But we felt, we knew that there was something there, even though in the early years of the project we had a very hard time articulating what it was. And we persisted. And we had some help and support with that. The Markle Foundation was initially very generous in giving us some funding to begin this exploration of IP and gender, although I am sad to say, as of more recent Markle funding cycles, that they seem no longer to have any interest in the project. Nevertheless, credit where credit is due, they were instrumental in getting this activity launched. And we started out by attempting to provide for ourselves more than anyone else at this point, a very preliminary map of this new territory that we were about to set out to explore in greater detail. We started out, that is, by thinking of the various potential kinds of intersectionality that we might encounter if we pursued those two apparently parallel tracks to some point beyond the horizon. And we thought about issues concerning the role of women in the history and in the formation of the discipline of intellectual property. We thought, of course, about ideas of gender discrimination in the application and formation of intellectual property doctrine. We thought about the gendered rhetoric of the field of intellectual property, especially, although not exclusively, around ideas of origination, creativity, and innovation. We thought about issues of disparate impact, the way in which apparently neutral doctrines of intellectual property law may have dramatically different effects on groups within society, including disparate effects that may fall out along gender lines, and so on and so forth. And we invited you and the larger academic community of which you are representatives to make your own contributions. And the first of our events, which many of you will remember, was a workshop which was intended really to continue that speculative mapping exercise through the presentation, not so much of finished work or even work in progress, but really of concepts for projects at the IP gender intersection. And it was enormously heartening and fruitful. It was, I think, all of us who were there. I'll speak for at least the AU contingent at that meeting, felt that it was one of the most energetic, productive, and fruitful academic meetings that we'd ever had the pleasure to attend. Last year, we had a couple of wonderful finished papers that were the focus of our IP Gender event, including Ann Bartow's paper and a paper by Sonia Keitel, who couldn't be here with us today but is very much a part of the project. And this year, we have, amazingly and wonderfully, a full-day conference packed with extraordinary contributions. Now, I hope that this exploration is going to continue. I know it's going to continue here. We're in this for the long haul. I very much hope that it is going to spread and that it is going to become a more general focus of scholarly and even ultimately teaching interest in American law schools. Who knows, maybe even beyond the United States. But for the moment, what I want to do simply is to, as Vicki has, acknowledge all of those, especially the faithful members of the project who have come to these different events and who have made contributions and who are making them here again today, and to declare the panels open, because I'm looking forward to these papers as much as you are. And I think, Christine, you're running the first panel, so let's get started. And thank you all again very, very much.